Hello, and welcome back to Word Origins Unveiled, the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of English words through their roots and stories. I'm Chris, your guide on this linguistic adventure.
And I'm Rachel, here to chime in, ask the burning questions, and hopefully make these words stick in your mind. We're so excited to have our Chinese listeners with us today.
Absolutely, Rachel. Today, we're going to unlock the power of some really useful verbs. As we discussed earlier, verbs are incredibly important. Every sentence you think, say, read, or write relies on a verb to carry the action, the movement, the force of your ideas. Think of them as the engines of our language.
That's a great analogy, Chris. I remember as a child, my first words were mostly nouns: mama, dada, doll. But soon after, I started using simple verbs like go, stop, eat. It's true that as we grow, our verbs become more complex, helping us describe intricate actions.
Exactly. The richer your vocabulary of verbs, the more precisely and expressively you can communicate your understanding of actions, reactions, attitudes, and emotions. So, let's jump right in and learn some powerful new verbs.
Sounds exciting. Where should we start, Chris?
Let's start with a verb that describes a common human tendency: to belittle or play something down. Imagine someone achieves something remarkable, but others try to minimize its importance. What verb describes that?
I think I know this one from our source. Is it disparage?
You got it, Rachel. To disparage means to belittle or speak slightingly about someone or something. The source gives a fantastic example from American political history: the 1948 U.S. presidential election.
Oh, the one with Harry Truman? I've heard a little about that.
Precisely. Many people, including pollsters and even some of his own party, thought Truman couldn't win. But then, surprisingly, he triumphed. What did his opponents and their supporters do after that unexpected victory? They tried to disparage his achievement. They said it was an accident or due to other factors, not Truman's own doing. It's like when you see someone succeed, and instead of giving them credit, others might say, oh, they just got lucky, or it wasn't that hard, to diminish their accomplishment.
That's so relatable. It's like when someone in your workplace gets a promotion, and others might whisper, well, they just happened to be in the right place at the right time, instead of acknowledging their hard work. So what's the origin of disparage?
Great question. Disparage comes from the Latin word par, which means equal. The prefix dis is a negative prefix. So, when you disparage someone, you are essentially lowering their par or their feeling of equality or worth. You're making them seem less significant.
That makes so much sense. And I guess that's why we have words like parity, meaning equality, and disparity, meaning a lack of equality or a difference, like the disparity between someone's promises and their actions.
Exactly. And even words like compare and peer come from the same Latin root par. When you compare two things, you look for their similar or equal qualities, and your peers are those who are equal to you in age, position, or ability. So, the root par is all about equality.
Fascinating! From diminishing someone's value to discussing equality. What a journey!
Indeed. Now, for our next word, let's consider another political example, but this time about someone who avoids taking a clear stance. The verb means to be purposely confusing.
Ah, yes. I remember this from the source, too. It's equivocate, isn't it?
That's right, Rachel. To equivocate means to use ambiguous language so as to conceal the truth or avoid committing oneself. The source refers to Governor Dewey, a Republican candidate in the late 1940s. When asked about a controversial law called the Taft-Hartley Act, he didn't give a straight answer. He said he was for the good parts and against the bad parts, essentially saying yes and no at the same time.
That sounds like some politicians I've heard today. It's like when someone asks for your opinion on a sensitive family matter, and you try to give an answer that pleases everyone but actually says nothing specific. You're trying to walk a tightrope, aren't you?
Precisely. In China, you might see this in business negotiations or social interactions where direct confrontation is avoided, and people might use roundabout language. The word equivocate comes from the Latin roots equus, meaning equal, and vox, vocis, meaning voice. So, to equivocate is literally to speak with equal voice for both sides, making your answer vague and open to different interpretations.
So it's about having two voices or two meanings simultaneously. That's clever. And the source mentions that an equivocal answer is intentionally vague, while an unequivocal response is clear and direct.
Yes, and it's important not to confuse equivocal with ambiguous. An equivocal statement is purposely designed to be deceptive, like a politician trying to dodge an issue. An ambiguous statement, however, is accidentally vague and can have two different meanings. So, you could say that equivocal is purposely ambiguous.
That's a crucial distinction. It's the difference between trying to mislead and simply being unclear by accident.
Moving on, let's talk about spreading rumors or damaging someone's reputation. What verb describes spreading slander or speaking evil about someone?
Oh, this one often happens in dramatic movies or even sometimes in real life when people are being unkind. Is it malign?
Spot on, Rachel. To malign means to speak evil about someone, to defame them, or to slander them. The source gives some pretty extreme examples, like accusing someone of being a closet alcoholic or an embezzler. These are serious accusations, spreading damaging falsehoods.
That's terrible. It's like in the age of social media where a single false rumor can quickly malign someone's character online, causing huge damage to their reputation.
Absolutely. And the origin of malign is quite interesting. It comes from the Latin root malus, which means bad or evil. So, to malign someone is literally to speak bad or evil about them. This malus root is a powerful building block in many English words.
Really? Like what?
Well, for example, a malignant growth is a cancerous or bad growth. A malediction is a curse, an evil saying. If someone has malevolent intentions, they are wishing evil or harm upon others. And a malefactor is a wrongdoer or evildoer. Think of famous villains in stories. They often harbor malevolence and commit malefactions.
Wow, so many negative words. So, if malice means bad, is there a root for good that contrasts with it?
Excellent question, Rachel. Yes, there is. The Latin word for good is bonus, and its adverbial form is bien. And just like malice, bien forms many positive English words.
That's great. Give us some examples of the good words.
Of course. In contrast to malignant, we have benign, meaning kindly, not harmful, or a good tumor, not cancerous. A malediction is a curse, but a benediction is a blessing, a saying good. If someone is beneficent, they are doing good. And a benefactor is someone who does good things for others, perhaps by giving financial aid or support. So, the root ben is all about positive actions and intentions.
That's a perfect contrast. It's like the yin and yang of language. One root gives us all these words related to bad and evil, while the other gives us good and kindness.
Exactly. It highlights how Latin roots have shaped so much of our English vocabulary, offering clear opposites. For our final word today, let's consider how we might resolve conflict. What verb means to change hostility to friendliness or to appease, soothe, or pacify someone?
Oh, this is a very useful one in personal relationships. It's placate.
You've got it. To placate someone means to turn their hostile attitude into one that is friendly or favorable. The source suggests an example where you've unintentionally angered your best friend, and to restore their good graces, you try to placate them. It's like when you have a disagreement with a family member and you try to apologize or do something thoughtful to ease the tension and bring things back to normal.
That's a scenario everyone can relate to, whether it's a misunderstanding with a friend, a quarrel with a spouse, or even trying to calm down an upset customer at work. The goal is often to placate the other person.
Precisely. And the root of placate comes from two related Latin verbs, meaning to please and to appease, soothe, or pacify. From this root, we also get words like placable, meaning someone who can be soothed, or whose hostility can be changed.
And if someone can't be soothed, they are implacable, right? That means they are unyielding to entreaty or pity, relentless, like a strict boss who is implacable in their demands, no matter how much you try to explain.
Exactly, Rachel. And another related word is placid. If a lake is placid, its waters are calm and undisturbed. A person of placid temperament is calm, easygoing, and serene. It's about being pleased with things as they are, leading to a state of calm.
So, from resolving conflicts to describing a calm demeanor, the plax root is all about finding a state of peace and contentment.
It certainly is. So, today we've explored four powerful verbs: disparage, to belittle; equivocate, to be purposely confusing; malign, to spread slander; and placate, to change hostility to friendliness. We also delved into their fascinating Latin origins, connecting them to concepts of equality, voice, good and evil, and peace.
It's amazing how understanding the root words makes the English vocabulary feel so much more connected and logical. These stories behind the words really help them stick.
That's exactly our goal. Remember, the richer your vocabulary of verbs, the more accurately and expressively you can communicate. So, keep practicing these words and using them in your conversations and writing.
We hope you enjoyed today's session and learned some new, powerful verbs. Thank you for joining us on Word Origins Unveiled.
We'll be back soon with more linguistic discoveries. Until next time, keep exploring the wonderful world of words.
Bye, everyone.
Zaijian.